Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Winston Churchill said, America can always be counted on to do the right thing after exhausting all the other possibilities. That may be the story in Washington today. Billions for Wall Street, Detroit lined up for a federal check, and now attention turning back to homeowners and housing where the meltdown began. But should there be a lifeline for homeowners, and which homeowners? For you, your neighbor, everybody? This hour, On Point, the plans afoot for helping homeowners. You can join the conversation. Would bargain basement mortgage interest rates and foreclosure relief turn your town, your life, the national economy around? Do you want your failing neighbors to get a helping hand from Washington? Do you want a piece of that pie, too? Joining me first today from New York is Michael Corkery. He covers housing and home building for the Wall Street Journal. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Tom.
So people have been talking about this for a long time, but last week a kind of new explosion of leaks, ideas, comments out of Treasury, out of Ben Bernanke, the Fed chief, and more, Sheila Bair at the FDIC. What's on the table? What are people worried about? Is it the big economy? Is it about the individual homeowners? Is it a combination, Michael?
I think that's right. I think it is a combination. Since the beginning of this year, the government has been trying to do things to stem foreclosures. That effort sort of intensified, and really intensified last week. You had the Fed chairman talking about it. You had the FDIC chairwoman talking about it. You had the Treasury secretary talking about it and doing something about it, not just in the form of loan modifications, but in this very aggressive effort by the Fed to buy up mortgage debt to try to drive down interest rates. And in fact, it had an impact. It drove interest rates down to about 5.5%, which is quite low, historically low. And it had a boost. People started refinancing. One of the largest amounts of refinancing applications in 1 week in history last week after Thanksgiving. So it is having an impact.
So there's a bump already in those refinancings, and yet you've got Barron's, which is not exactly all in favor of government intervention most times, now saying we need the government here in a big way, 4.5% mortgage interest rates for everybody. Unless Washington begins to act boldly on the mortgage front, today's bad times will only get far worse. And here's the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, on Thursday telling colleagues at a housing conference that not enough has been done so far on foreclosure rates and homes.
Despite good faith efforts by both the private and public sectors, the foreclosure rate remains too high, with adverse consequences for both those directly involved and for the broader economy. More needs to be done.
More needs to be done, says the Fed chair. That's not even one of those subtle wink-wink, nod-nod things, Michael. That's just straight up from the Fed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that with the economy sort of spinning, some would say, last week, out of control with such huge unemployment numbers, I think that the government is really being as aggressive as they possibly can here. And, a lot of it comes back to housing. The idea, like you mentioned earlier, this crisis started with housing, and the solution to it may have to be in improving the housing market, stopping the slide in home prices, which is going to stop this, this buildup of foreclosures. And they're trying to strike a balance here in how they're approaching it, sort of a two-front approach. One is to prevent foreclosures by modifying a lot of these loans that are unaffordable for people, and they're doing that in a lot of different ways. Actually, I count seven different programs.
Such as what kind of modifications? And will these be mandated by the government that the banks do this for their mortgage holders, and do what?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Some of it's voluntary. Some of it is encouraged by the government. Particularly, Sheila Bair is sort of the largest advocate for aggressive loan mods, in which people, their mortgage payments, their monthly mortgage payments would be brought way, way down, sort of to bring it more in line with their income so that people wouldn't be paying more than 31% of their income toward their monthly mortgage payments. And then if there are losses on those loans, on those modified loans, then the government would bear those losses for the lenders.
And this modification would go to people who are clearly at risk of foreclosure or who are on the brink of it? Who qualifies?
Yeah, it's the people that are on the brink of it. So, you know, to qualify, you basically have to be paying, you know, way too much of your income toward your mortgage. But again, that plan is meeting with mixed reaction on the Hill, in part because, one, it's going to cost a lot, and two, its successes aren't clear. There's actually some new data out today from the Office of Thrift Supervision, which shows that some of the voluntary modifications that were done by the big banks, Citi, J.P. Morgan, 50% of people that had their loans modified over the past 6 months are 60 days late on their payments.
So in other words, the government got involved, or the banks did, to help them out to lower their monthly payment, presumably, and they ended up behind anyway.
Right. They're going back. Mm. They're at risk of default again, and in large part because the economy now is weakening. People are, you know, losing their jobs. And others would argue that those type of modifications, they just don't work. If you can't afford your house, no amount of modification is going to help you, which is why other economists support the approach that was taken in the past couple of weeks, which is to drive down mortgage rates and just get people buying houses. And by buying houses and getting sales up, that's going to put a floor on house prices, which in turn is going to stop foreclosures. And yes, people may go into foreclosure, but their houses are then going to be bought up by people that are taking advantage of these low interest rates, and that's going to help the whole market.
And then there was word out of the Treasury Department, apparently leaked late last week, about potential plans for the government to subsidize mortgage interest rates in effect so they'd go down to 4.5%, the lowest level in, I don't know, half a century or so. But those super low rates would only be not for people with who own homes and are struggling, but for new homeowners. What's the logic there?
Well, the logic, I think, is cost. I mean, if you were to, I think the cost of that proposal is about $50 billion. If you were to extend that beyond just for new purchases to refinancing, the cost of that would be, you know, 10 times as much to the government. So I don't think the government thinks that they can afford to do it for everybody. But it's a good point. I mean, it does, again, you know, as we've over and over again, that this issue of moral hazard, which has played out in, you know, in on Wall Street, it's playing out in, you know, Detroit.
That is, if you bail them out, they may just be tempted to foul up again.
Sure, foul up again, or it encourages sort of bad behavior, and understandably, why if I'm
take the risk, what the heck?
I'm current on my mortgage, but all these other people are getting bailed out. Why should I keep paying?
So that's 4.5% interest. Is that going anywhere? There was word that it may in fact have been realtors who leaked that. Realtors who were in the conversations, because of course that would be good for the real estate business. Get a lot of houses moving at 4.5%. But is it for real?
Well, it is. It's definitely very aggressive. Treasury has confirmed that they are considering it, but how realistic it is, it's not clear. Yeah, there is some scuttle that it was leaked by the lobbyists who are laboring hard for it to put pressure on Treasury to do something. But even so, you know, the incoming Obama administration has made it clear that helping homeowners and getting this housing market on track is top priority. And I think that kind of language, although they haven't been clear about what their plans are, is starting to direct what we've seen in the past couple weeks from, you know, in these last waning weeks of the Bush administration, a greater focus on the housing market.
Let's listen to Barack Obama. Here he is on Meet the Press with Tom Brokaw Sunday. Brokaw asked Barack Obama about how to structure a plan on homes that's fair and doesn't tempt families that are managing okay to jump into the mortgage help that they may or may not need.
That's one of the tricky things that we've got to figure out how to structure. We don't want what you just described, a moral hazard problem where you have incentive to act irresponsibly. But, you know, if my neighbor's house is on fire, even if they were smoking in the bedroom or leaving the stove on, right now my main incentive is to put out that fire so that it doesn't spread to my house. And I think most people recognize that even if there were some poor decisions made by home buyers, that right now our biggest incentive is to make sure that the housing market is strengthened.
Barack Obama on Sunday. Michael Corkery, what is really moving toward action here? Is it looking for fairness in the economy? Is it looking for equity? Is it looking to save the big economy by saving individual homeowners?
I think it's the latter. I think when you speak to economists, I think that they believe that the government's actions, basically throwing the kitchen sink at this sinking economy, are going to make the difference between whether we, you know, go into a severe recession or whether we go into a depression. And I really think that you know, while the homeowner proposals are getting a lot of attention, you know, they also were trying to free up credit for student loans, for car loans. They're doing anything and everything they can, and I think they're getting close. I mean, a lot of this may not work right away. If you talk to realtors, if you talk to home builders, you talk to even home buyers out there, you know, lower mortgage rates aren't going to get them to get off the fence right away and start buying homes. But I do think it may achieve a bigger purpose, which is to start changing consumer confidence and the feeling that the government is here and they're going to help and they're going to turn this thing around. And
do so, something
yeah,
on
sure.
homes. Michael Corkery with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks very much for being with us, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about what Washington's talking about. Of course, there's Detroit, and of course, there's Wall Street. But right behind this big conversation about direct help to homeowners and all kinds of conversation about super low interest rates and maybe a bailout for individual mortgage holders in trouble. We've got a couple of big, wise views of the market and the world with us today from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Carl Case is here, professor of economics at Wellesley College. He collaborated with Yale's Robert Shiller to come up with the most widely used database of housing prices in the country, the Case-Shiller Index. Carl Case, thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom.
And with us from New York, professor of banking and finance at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. But in New York, just these days at the Stern School, NYU, Dwight Jaffe joins us. Professor Jaffe, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be back on your program.
It's great to have you. First to you, what do you think of all the conversation in Washington and beyond at this point? Barron's says lower the interest rate to 4.5% for everybody in the country. We'll save the housing market. We'll jumpstart the economy. Happy days will be here again, and if we don't, we've got big trouble. Let's just start with that. What about it?
Well, I think what Michael just described in giving you the summary of plans, his last statement was they're trying anything and everything, and that's not good policymaking. That's a panic, and indeed, I think people are perceiving that Washington is panicked, and that's actually making the problem worse. In my view, the first step in solving this problem is you have to say, what is the problem we're trying to solve? What is the goal of our policy? And this interest rate reduction is not well defined. It's not clear what you're trying to solve by doing it.
Well, the Treasury Department and Ben Bernanke want to save the economy, just to look at it coldly. I guess not individuals maybe on their screen, but they're not front and center. The whole economy is. I guess their idea is get the interest rate down. Treasury's plan just for new home buyers, but that would stimulate home purchases, and that would put some muscle back in the economy. What about it?
That's a real goal. Then you have to ask what is the best mechanism to stabilize the economy? Is it to build bridges and roads? Is it to subsidize housing investments? Is it to give people lower mortgage rates? I think you might get an instinctive sense that maybe lower mortgage rates isn't the most efficient way to do it. After all, lower mortgage rates mean people take out bigger mortgages. That doesn't really put anybody to work. All that does is benefit a few people. So my view would be we should be looking at how to stimulate the real economy, not the financial markets, if that's our goal.
Carl Case, if we're going to step in and bring interest rates down, and maybe we won't, but it's out there, should it be just for new homeowners or for everybody who's in trouble on the mortgage? Lots of people really up against the wall now on their mortgage payments. Should they have access to that 4.5% mortgage rate, too, if the government rolls it out?
Before I talk about the low mortgage rates, let me just point out that there are two real focuses in this stuff that's going on in Washington now. One is lowering rates, and we can debate that all day. That's to bring in buyers and help stabilize the market. But the major focus in the last week has been this restructuring, where you take people who are in trouble and you try to help them out. That's where the action's going to be in the next few months. And I think there is a role for government in this, in that part of the in that part of the equation. You've got borrowers and lenders who, if the industry were structured like it was in the old days, where there was George Bailey and his bank who had the mortgages in the closet, you could come in and argue about and negotiate a deal.
Yep. George, help me out.
And George has the authority to do that. Now, with all this securitization, a lot of these loans have been sold. They're out in tranches, and people hold mortgage-backed securities against them. And so when a borrower comes in and wants to negotiate, and this can be optimal for everybody, if the borrower can prevent going to foreclosure, it's a good thing for a whole lot of reasons. The properties get trashed when they're vacant. People, it's concentrated in particular neighborhoods. There's really a market failure, and the market failure is that you can't really sit down with the person who's servicing your loan and come to an agreement, because the agreements are getting blocked by the people who have some title to this flow of earnings represented by the mortgage. So part of the deal is to try to.
Sounds like we may have lost Carl there and Wesley for a moment. We've got a lot of listeners who already want into this conversation. Let's go and hear straight from them. Charleston, South Carolina. Nancy, you're on the air, Nancy. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
It's a good show. And this is my situation. Mm-hmm. I recently bought a house. I just made my third payment.
Okay.
Now, of course, I did it just before everything blew up. And right now, with the little that I had in my 401k has disappeared, and I teach at a small private university, no salary raises in the foreseeable future, definitely not this year, probably not next year.
Right.
And in the meantime, you know, we're hearing all about the bailouts and everything, and I feel totally left out that because of the banks and all the mismanagement, the money that I was saving for retirement is gone, and I'm at a 6.5 interest rate.
Okay.
And I know for me, you know, just restoring some confidence, I know I shouldn't panic, but restoring some confidence and feeling that there's some equity involved, I would appreciate the opportunity to switch from 6.5 to a 4.5 mortgage rate to ease some of the pressure, especially in view of losing so much money.
It sounds like you're saying, Nancy, if everybody else is getting help one way or another, Wall Street, Detroit, let's have something for Nancy, too.
Yes, because my job is infected. My retirement savings were affected, and I'm feeling the pressure of raising costs. And so if others are getting some help, couldn't I at least get a 4.5 interest rate?
Nancy, let's pick it up. Dwight Jaffe, how about it? Nancy had the bad luck to buy 3 months ago, sort of, you know, right before everything came crashing down. She looks around, a lot of people getting a helping hand, and she'd like one too. Thank you very much.
She just made a very persuasive case for it, and in terms of equity, there is no doubt about it. if the market interest rate on mortgages were to become on the order of 4.5, and I think they're already at 5.5, that would be a true benefit. No problem there. As a policy, though, if we're to subsidize this, you have to recognize that, for example, triple B corporate bonds used to have the same rate of interest as mortgages in the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the triple B bond rate is probably more like 8.5%. And so are you going to say to this company that wants to make an investment so it can hire a few more people, oh, no, you don't get a 4.5% rate because you're a company. We're only going to do homeowners. So the equity is a continuum. If the market is working and it's allocating the credit, that's great. If you start to subsidize, then you have to make these comparisons, and everybody has a self-interest. So it becomes much more difficult.
Let's get a call from Newton, Iowa, and Aaron. Hi, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I called in about 9 months ago after Bear Stearns got bailed out. I think that we have been going down the wrong path the whole time. People that make financial decisions irresponsibly need to reap the consequences of those. Same thing with large corporations. What's wrong with a bankruptcy every now and then and restructure a company or redistribute some assets? We just heard from Nancy, who seems like she did buy at a bad time.
Yep.
A couple years ago, I bought a house, and I tell you what, Tom, I got a 6.25% interest rate, and I'm not affected at all because I bought within my means. I made responsible decisions. And frankly, if you rose my interest rate to 10%, I'd be fine with that too.
What?
Obviously, I don't want that to happen, but I can afford it, and I'm telling you that if we let people foreclose, people that make financially responsible decisions, like me, can go buy up their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're very tuned into the moral hazard problem here, Aaron, that if you bail people out, they may just make bad decisions again or others may make them. But what about the save the economy argument? I mean, we are where we are now. Do you think we can save the economy if the housing market stays in trouble? Do we need intervention by that logic, Aaron?
I think any amount of intervention that even closely resembles what we've been trying to do so far is only going to make the problem worse, and it's only going to get harder in the long run. If we had not bailed out any companies and not even gotten close to talking about bailing out the federal government, bailing out an individual homeowner, this is absolutely ridiculous. An individual homeowner needs to make an individually responsible decision and live within their means. And a corporation needs to do the same thing.
Aaron, we hear it loud and clear, and we thank you for your call. Carl Case, I hope we have you back. Is there any sign that the housing market, just with market forces, is beginning to find a bottom to turn around? Or might we still have another big chunk down to go?
Well, it depends, obviously, on what happens. The real question is this recession coming on. But there are people shopping at these auctions. There are two kinds of market clearing processes going on. One is we've got all these foreclosures that are coming in and being auctioned off. And if you look at where they're occurring and where the markets are bad, it's concentrated in four states: Florida, Arizona, California, and Nevada.
Mm.
It's about half of the auctions. Those markets are basically being driven by this tremendous volume of product. But there are buyers now, and they're coming out in California, partially coming out in even in Florida and places where there's a lot of this stuff. And they're being driven by lower interest rates. But there are still an awful lot of properties in the process of foreclosure. And it's not clear to me that the government shouldn't be involved in helping those people hang on to properties they want to hang on to, getting the cash flows connected back to that paper, and not leading to sort of neighborhood decline and these other kinds of effects that need to be considered and that won't be considered necessarily by the free market. If these deals are being blocked, so that people are getting kicked out of their houses and all the pain and suffering that goes with it, if those are being blocked and that could be cleared up so that deals that are beneficial for everybody, including society, get done, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do that. I mean, everyone in Washington the people involved in this are basically free market people, but everyone seems to be coming down behind this clear out the foreclosure auction, regardless of where they come out on trying to drive down interest rates, stimulate demand, and manipulate price.
It's a tough way to go, to put everything up for auction, but you're saying have a kind of backstop or helping hand there at the same time. Let's get a call from Truman in Boston. Hi, Truman. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts on this problem because, you know, I bought a house several years ago, and, you know, I bought it with the idea that I was going to refinance, and now the value of my house is down, and the banks, you know, the rates haven't gone down. I'm stunned that the government has tried so hard to lower the rates for everybody by, you know, every 3 months you hear, oh, the government's lowering the rates, but the banks won't reciprocate to the masses. So all of a sudden, this whole lending economy just stopped.
But I'm looking here, the 30-year fixed rate today, 5.7%. This is from bankrate.com. It doesn't look so bad historically, Truman.
Well, you know, maybe 5.7. I mean, you have to, like, you know, they say, though, the daily rate's fluctuating, you know. I mean, 5.7, you know, it's okay, but, you know.
So do you think they ought to step in and lower it for everybody? Do you want that 4.5% rate for your refinance if some people are getting it for new homes?
Well, obviously, I think, they, you know, they can't single out the new homes. They have to do the whole market. But the other point I have to make is that they could borrow the money and subsidize the house loans and make money on the deal, you know?
They can get the government can borrow at about 2% now. I've read the same thing, Truman. That's true. Let us pick it up, Dwight Jaffe. What was, do you think, the logic apparently at the Treasury Department of, if there's a subsidized interest rate of 4.5% only for new home buyers and not for existing? Is that just a cost issue? Is there some other factor there?
I think it is primarily a cost factor. You have to recognize that there's really at least two. Actually, there's many more than two separate issues here. One is how to help the borrowers who are on the brink of foreclosure. And that's, if you want to think of this as like a natural disaster, mm-hmm. Katrina, a hurricane, that's the soup kitchen. People are, you know, on the street, they're in tatters. The government should be trying to come in and help, although I would say we haven't done much better than FEMA did in Katrina in this case. A second and completely separate issue is, okay, the disaster is basically over, but we have all the problems of an after effect. How do we stimulate the economy? And those are really very, very separate problems. By helping the people who are on the brink of foreclosure, it'll have a small but not really significant effect on the overall economy. And I think that's the distinction the Treasury is making. If you're going to help new investors to buy homes, then you're stimulating the economy. It obviously has nothing to do with the people that own the existing homes, nothing directly. If you want to help the people that are on the brink of foreclosure, that's a different set of policies. My own opinion is it's very difficult to help these people on the brink of foreclosure. That's why we're seeing 50% and even higher rates of reoccurrence. And that's been going on for 2 years. After all, you have a willing borrower and a willing lender, and they can't find a deal themselves. The government has done studies that recognize how difficult it is to do these workouts and loan modifications on the foreclosures. And so it is sensible to say, well, wait a minute, maybe we can't do a lot here, but let's try to get that market going. And that's where they dedicate the reduced mortgage rate to new home purchases. I would suggest there's an alternative, which surprises me it hasn't been suggested because it's been a mainstay of American policy in past cycles, which is to give an investment tax credit to housing investment. If you go out and buy a home today, the government will give you a 10% tax credit. It's in effect saying, if you buy a home in the next 18 months, we're going to give you a benefit because we want you to do that. And in many ways, that's more efficient than even a mortgage rate subsidy. After all, what you want is people to buy homes, not to buy mortgages.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about direct help to home owners and all kinds of talk about super low interest rates and maybe a bailout for individual mortgage holders in trouble. We've been joined by Carl Case. He created, along with Robert Shiller at Yale, the Case-Shiller Index, the most widely cited database of housing prices in the country, professor of economics at Wellesley College. Joining us from New York, Dwight Jaffe. He's professor at the Haas School of Business at Berkeley. He's at NYU right now. Oh, boy. Carl, so you say help people modify their loans as opposed to getting into the interest rate business. But this report, we heard Michael Corkery at the Wall Street Journal talk about it just out yesterday, that about half of people who have had that done already are more than 60 days late, 6 months after it was done. So maybe that's not enough.
Well, the other half of that is the 50% are not in foreclosure anymore. And they are making their payments, and you've got cash coming in. If that property had gone into foreclosure, there would have been extra costs and extra losses. The problem is that prices are still falling, and they're falling at a good rate. And if they continue to fall rapidly, and it's being driven by these foreclosures, if they continue to fall rapidly, then the 2008 and the 2009 mortgages that have been written are going to be bad. And if they turn out to be bad and we have another set of massive losses in the spring, then we're right back, and we're in the middle of a recession, a deep one. So I really do believe that we need to do everything possible to get this thing stabilized. And I think the pressure point that looks like it would work, if you got a couple of million people in this pipeline who could get restructured in a way that everybody would agree, if they could come to an agreement, if the mechanics were there to get everyone to look at the deals objectively and quickly, that you do have a chance of they really have made some progress in getting this pipeline of foreclosed property cleaned out.
Can we modify all those mortgages fast enough to respond to this, one by one, going in to sit down across a table somewhere?
You can't do it one on one and take all that time. The effort is to try to get this done on a more wholesale basis and get the deals approved. It turns out there are deals to be made, but someone down the line who owns one piece of a B mortgage-backed security can block this because they control the lien on the property.
So you need the government to say, do it.
If they could break that legal logjam, if they could break that legal logjam, there are people who want to make deals and clear this pipeline out. If that happens, if you look at around the country, there out of our 20 cities we look at, 10 of them don't have a lot of this stuff. And in those 10 cities, in Boston included, Boston is doing quite well. House prices have been falling for 3 years. They've only fallen about 12%.
Name some other cities that are doing all right. Boston might be one. Where else are things not so bad?
Well, in our data, cities like Dallas, Portland, Denver, Seattle, Atlanta, New York are all down less than 10%. Whereas you look at the places that have a lot of this auction stuff, it's Phoenix, Las Vegas, Miami, San Diego, Los Angeles, down 30-40%. Almost 40%. And in fact, if you break out the low end, where the properties are really being dumped out of this auction process, they're down. San Francisco, the low end is down over 50%. That's going to, you know, that's a big problem. And unless that gets attention, I mean, there's no way we're going to sit here and control the level of house prices in the country. But if you target these properties that are in foreclosure where you could make a deal and you set it up so that it can get done, I believe it can have an impact.
Put the blocks in where the problem is worst and maybe stop it there. Let's go to Bill in Newton, Massachusetts. Bill, you're on the air. What do you see?
Yeah, well, I see, and no one has mentioned the fact that after bailing out the banks, and a good percentage of them, the banks are, as commercial banks, able to procure tons of money at 1% and below. Why in God's name do we find it difficult to hold them to a 4.5 mortgage, where over 15 or 30 years they'll make back 10 times what they loan to the homeowner?
Right. So
it seems like we're feeling so badly for these institutions, as after bailing them out for $1.5 trillion. Why we do not have the same compassion for the American homeowner, which directly affects the economy, even more so than the banks, in my opinion.
Do you know of what you speak there, Bill?
I think I do.
How?
Yes, personally, well, I actually lost my job about 6 months ago, and I'm a resident of Newton, Massachusetts, and I'm possibly looking at an imminent foreclosure, and I've had difficulty mitigating or reworking my loan with my bank, because they're just, for some silly reason, it seems unwilling to accommodate us.
Have you gone in and tried to talk to them? Does your bank even own your mortgage anymore, or is it passed on down the line?
I was not even, that information wasn't even available to me. It's still through the bank, but the bank has been purchased by another bank, and then
of course.
Two fairly large banks, and nobody really knows where the money lays. So I just think...
Do they answer the phone when you call? I mean, do they even want to talk about it, or is it just, good luck, mister, you're on your own?
Well, it's probably a combination of the both.
Mm-hmm. But you see...
We made a few mistakes. In hindsight, we took money out of our current mortgage, our residence mortgage, and attempted to buy and purchase some properties as rental incomes.
Right.
And not so much for escalation, but just for rentals. And, of course, in those areas, resort areas, the values of those properties went down. The ability to rent them at reasonable rates went down. And so it's kind of a quagmire, which has unfortunately kind of come back to bite us in the wrong spot.
Right.
So
right.
We just want some assistance from the bank, and they just...
It looks like they've got the margin to do it.
From us.
Right.
They're not that willing. I mean, they make you jump through rings, and I don't know. It's just kind of unfortunate.
No, we hear it loud and clear, Bill, and we wish you good luck. Dwight, Jeffy, I mean, it keeps coming back. You know, everybody would like that lower interest rate. It kind of looks like the brass ring. And Bill says, look, the banks are getting all kinds of help, plus they seem to have a pretty good margin on mortgage rates as they are. You know, why not put them down a bit and jumpstart the economy and help a lot of people like him at the same time? I'm sorry to keep coming back to that, but it keeps coming up.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep rejecting it.
What's the downside?
Let me tell you. So the first point is he believes that banks have a very large margin. In fact, they're paying probably close to 4%, maybe even 4.5% for 30-year money anyway. So for them to take in a new mortgage and at 4.5%, they will lose money. They won't be able to pay for the operating expenses of the bank. So it's not as if they actually have a very large margin. The CD rates for even a 3-year CD rate are well north of 3% already, and 30-year CDs don't even exist. But if they tried to insure them against interest rate changes, they would pay more than 4.5%.
What about stretching it out to a 40-year mortgage? People have proposed that, and Bill and others might just go for it, help on the monthly.
It gets you very little additional amount on your monthly payment. So suppose it reduces your monthly payment by 10%. So if you used to be at a 40% debt-to-income ratio, this takes you down to 36%. You're still underwater. The basic problem here, these loan write-offs and loan modifications are much harder to do. Remember, Professor Case just said some San Francisco house prices are down 50%. Well, that means that somebody has to take a 50% hit if this mortgage is even going to start to be viable. And very likely in most of these mortgages, there's a second mortgage. Somebody took out a home equity loan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fundamentally a showstopper. There is no way you can modify a first mortgage without bailing out the second mortgage holder. And that second mortgage holder understands that, and they're going to sit there until you pay them off. Well, now you've made this work out not economically feasible, but infeasible. So it's much harder to do, and it's no surprise. Everybody is trying, and no one is succeeding, and I suspect that's going to be the final story.
Let's go to Michelle in Charleston, South Carolina. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Going back to the issue of the 4.54, or perhaps we're actually staying there, when he said earlier that it wouldn't provide a boost to the economy, it seems to me that the homeowners who are financed at 6%,
mm-hmm.
that they are the folks that are doing okay financially, so the money that they would save on their mortgage seems to me would provide an economic stimulus because they could spend it on other goods.
Michelle, you sound like Ben Bernanke there. I mean, that seems to be what he was suggesting last week, so you say go for it.
Well, I think that is a valid injection into the economy.
Michelle, thanks very much. Carl Case, Michelle and Ben Bernanke both looking for some stimulus on this front. You don't really do you get that stimulus directly enough in the loan modification path? Does it end up at the same bottom line stimulus, Carl?
Well, I think it actually provides more help, to be honest with you. It's going back to what the previous caller said.
Mm-hmm.
He was having trouble getting a hold of someone who could make the deal for him. to listen to him.
Right.
If he gets restructured and he starts paying on his loan and that property doesn't go into a fire sale and get sold at a very low price, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But the banks are not the problem. If the bank had his mortgage, they would talk to him. But they don't. That loan was sold probably to Wall Street or to Fannie and Freddie. It was securitized. And now there are a bunch of people who have no clue what their share is going to be worth, who don't want to give up claim to it, mm-hmm. who are blocking deals that really would take a foreclosed property out of the pipeline. And if you do it in large enough numbers, where there are deals to be made, where the actual borrower and whoever would come to a deal if they could get together, it just could save us a lot of money and a lot of time. I'd love to see rates go down. It would obviously be a stimulus. Rates are down 5.5%.
Yep.
But the credit crunch is still here. That is, you can see loans being made at 5.5%, but not to many people. The banks are still
tough to qualify. Yep.
It's tough to qualify. You have to have a perfect credit score. And until people are away from the fear that these mortgages are going to go bad and the 2008 and 2009 books are going to be horrible, the credit crunch is going to be with us. This is a way of getting some of it unclogged and stopping the one part of the market that's dragging us down and preventing it from reaching a bottom.
That fear factor still standing astride this big market. Let's get a call from Davenport, Iowa, and Tim. Hi, Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I think that we need to look more at stabilization. I mean, we inflated the housing prices with our low interest rates earlier in the century, and I think that that's something that we don't want to do again. I think we're going to make the housing market another pinball machine that's going to go up and down with these changing in interest rates.
So how do you stabilize instead of pinball, Tim? How do you do that?
I think that we need to focus more on jobs. Mm-hmm. We need to put in everything that we have into creating more jobs. By creating jobs, you're going to get people to be able to afford their house prices. The housing market will stabilize out just like it always does, come back to a normal rate of where it was 1999, 2000 before the Fed lowered the interest rate before.
So jobs first and homes second, or wherever they fall in line. Tim, thanks for that. Let's go to Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Brian, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
My point is that I'm a home builder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a home builder in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen foreclosures coming on the market left and right, and what they're doing is they're killing the prices of new construction homes.
Do you see things getting better, Brian, or getting worse?
It's getting worse. We basically are getting close to the point where we cannot build them for the prices that they're selling for.
Wow.
And the problem is that I'm watching subcontractors, basic construction workers, losing their jobs left and right. I think a lower interest rate could possibly get some of these foreclosures off the market.
But you want something. Get these people
mm-hmm. to give them a break. Try to get them to keep their houses. It's got to stop. And people are saying, well, where's the bottom? Where's the bottom? Is there one?
That's a breathtaking question. For the home builder, it may be right in front of you. Thanks for that vote on the interest rate question, Brian. Let's get one more here from Jody in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts. Jody, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a real estate title examiner in Massachusetts, and I also lost my home 3 days before Christmas last year. And I see this foreclosure issue from both sides. And I think the problem is, particularly with the financial bailout, is they're not looking, the banks aren't working with the people out here. In my neighborhood alone, when my home was foreclosed, there were two other homes foreclosed on. I tried to work with my mortgage provider, lender. Mm-hmm. They were sending my money back at one point. They were saying it's not the exact amount, it's not enough. And as a real estate title examiner, I'm out in the field, and the banks are not
even executing documents properly. They're making it impossible to even sell off these foreclosed properties.
So what now? Do you want to see the government move in and help homeowners in a big way? Is that the right thing, like, or not?
I believe if the federal government is going to help these financial institutions, they have to put a check and balance on them that it trickles down to the consumer. Because unless these people in homes are not helped out, then they are not going. They're not going to be spending money. They're going to be jobless. They're going to be homeless. I mean, we can't just give this money away and say, okay, here it is again. We have to demand that they act properly for once.
Jody, thank you very much for your call. Dwight Jaffe, Carl Case, clearly people are watching very closely here. And there's talk about bottom lines. I mean, people are drawing a bottom line conclusions about, who's sticking up for whom with the chips down here. Economic consequences, but eventually out of this, there will be a political judgment made as well, Dwight. You can hear it in every call.
Yes. So I hope your caller two back, Tim, is still on the line, because Professor Jaffe gives him an A+. What he said was, first and foremost, we should now be focusing on jobs and stimulating the real economy. Secondly, he said, wait a minute, if we're going to try to build, didn't we get into this problem because there was too much lending at low mortgage rates and that created a bubble in housing prices? Mm-hmm. He suggested, well, why would we think that's the fix? That was the problem. And I give him an A+. Obviously, it has to be done carefully. Soup kitchens and emergency aid are critical. But the real, the bottom line now is the real economy, and I wouldn't lose that focus.
One high grade and a lot of problems still to go. Dwight Jaffe and Carl Case, thank you so much for being with us this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.